welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And in saying that, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, Luke 19 and 10 tells us that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke said, or Jesus said, Jesus said in 19 and 10. And if you're lost, friend, if you're lost, you can be saved. You can be saved today. And by the way, you can know it. Thank God. I'm glad for a no-so salvation, aren't you? I'm glad for a no-so salvation. I've opened my Bible to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 23. And I'm going to read one of the most awesome verses there is in the entire Word of God, I suppose. And I want to take a text from that and share with you a message that God has laid upon my heart. But before I do that, Deb's going to tell you how to be saved. She's going to tell you that we're saved by grace, friend. It's not grace and works. It's all by grace.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith. His grace, I have been saved. By faith I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
Well, I'll say amen right there, friend. I'll tell you what, in fact, the Word of God teaches us emphatically, undeniably, repetitively, clearly, powerfully, that we're either saved by grace through faith or we're not saved at all. God's always been the God of grace according to the Word of God. God is the God of all grace according to the Word of God. And listen, friend, if it was grace yesterday, it's grace today. If it's grace today and yesterday, it will be grace tomorrow. I'm so excited that you have tuned in today. Pray our time together will be a blessing. Pray that you will be challenged, confirmed, stirred. I'd like to see somebody change. Listen, I'd like to see somebody change out of the kingdom of darkness, be placed for the power of God, for the glory of God, into the kingdom of light. I'd like to see that happen. And I pray God will just get all over this preacher and this message that he has given this preacher in the book of Numbers, chapter 23. Listen to what the Word of God says as a part of that parable that that strange man by the name of Balaam spoke when Balak was trying to get him to curse the people of God. You know what? You cannot curse those whom God has blessed. Do you hear me? Listen, Balak nor Balaam understood the blood of the Lamb that was applied to the doorpost under which the children of Israel, God's redeemed, came out of Egypt. Neither did they understand that great event that happened in chapter 21 of the book of Numbers. When they were being bitten by serpents, God told Moses, look, you make a brazen serpent, you put it on a pole, and every one that looks thereunto shall live. It was Jesus that referred Nicodemus in John chapter 3 back to Numbers 21 as an emblem or a picture, a type of the cross. And I want you to know, friend, listen, when you come under the blood, when you go by the cross, glory, hallelujah, thank God, listen, you can't be cursed, you can't lose out. I'm telling you, the blood, once it's applied, is still there. And listen to what Balaam said about God as he was under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? Listen to that. Let me give it to you again. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know what Balaam is saying in essence? Balaam is saying, listen, God's not frivolous. God's not fickle. God is not a man. God is faithful. God is holy. Once God says something, does something, promises something, this and friend, it's just as good as done. No power can alter it. No thing can change it. I'm glad to know today, thank God, that God's not like me and you, friend. I'm glad that He's not. So I'm going to talk to you about this subject. It's either or. It's either or. Now, if you look up that phrase or whatever you would call it, it's a proposition. I believe it is. In fact, it designates something. Either or. It's an English phrase. And you know what it does? It's a proposition or situation that is limited to and only to options or outcomes or alternatives. It's either this way or that way. Do you hear me? It's either this way or that way. Hey, have you ever heard anybody say it's either my way or the highway? Do you know anybody that's like that? I mean, you either agree with them or you're wrong. I mean, you either do it the way that they say to do it or there's no reasoning, there's no communication, there's no mediation. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, it's either this or it's either that. Well, I'll tell you, my message is simple today. Without a doubt, it's simple, but I'm going to tell you something. It's got profound implications to it. Profound implications to it. And nothing that I say today will be exhaustive. None of this message and the different parts and points to it will exhaust the truth of what I'm trying to lift up and proclaim. But I'll tell you what I do. I pray. Oh, I pray that each piece and each point of this message will prove to be helpful and fruitful to you, sir, and to you, ma'am. Whether or not you agree with me, listen, that doesn't really matter, although I want you to agree with me, but I'll tell you what I want you to agree with. I want you to agree with the Word of God and realize that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it, or hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? Listen, either God means what he says and says what he means, or he doesn't. Either God is truth or God is a liar. Either God is able or God is not able. And that's the kind of idea that's behind this as we think about this message that God has laid on my heart. Can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? It's important to take God's Word just as He gives it. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, when I was growing up and I first got saved, first got called to the ministry, I didn't know that we were to study the Word of God literally. I didn't understand that when the Word of God makes sense, we're to seek for no other sense. I didn't understand when the Word of God said Israel, it means Israel. When it says the church, it means the church. When it says 1,000 years, it means 1,000 years. When He talked about the Son of Man, He's talking about the Son of Man. When He's talking about heaven, He's talking about heaven. When He talks about faith, He's talking, you understand what I'm saying? I mean to tell you, look, when you're studying the Word of God, study it as if it were meaning just exactly what it's saying, and it'll liberate you, it'll enlighten you, it'll do something major for you internally, and it'll show up externally. But I want you to know, it's important to take the Word of God just like it has been given to us. Listen, there's a lot of people that don't know whether we've got the Word of God or not. But here's one preacher, bless God, that not only believes God's able to inspire His Word, but that He has, without a doubt, preserved His Word. And by the way, listen, we've all got a problem. We've all got something to worry about. If God cannot keep His Word, can He keep you and I? But I'm glad to tell you, thank God, the psalmist said in 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, is Thy Word settled in heaven." It may not be settled on earth, but thank God it's settled in heaven. And when I'm talking about the Word of God, I'm not talking about some NIV, some non-inspired version, but I'm talking about the King James Bible. Bless God, listen, that Bible that's been used to bring revival throughout the world, to change more hearts than any other book or any other philosophy of man or ideological ideas that man may have. I'm telling you, listen, this book, bless God, came out of eternity, will go into eternity, it's preserved in eternity, and whether we like it or not, bless God, and I'll tell you, it's going to be that book that we meet in eternity. But let me go on. Listen. It's either or. Do you hear me? So number one, I want you to think with me. It's either, listen, God's Word is either true or it's not true. That's exactly right. Think about that again. Let me give it to you again. God's Word is either true or not true. You know how I'm leaning? I'm not just leaning. Bless God, I'm standing. I'm not just standing, I'm declaring. I'm proclaiming, bless God. I'm announcing, bless the holy name of Jesus, that the Word of God is true. I'm not part of it, but all of it. He said in the book of 2 Timothy 3:16, He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Don't you like that? I'd go on, maybe I should go on, but I just want you to get that part. I'm telling you, friend, listen, this book that I hold in my hand, it not only contains the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, and 21. I want you to know, listen, that God's Word is true. It's not either or. Every jot, every tittle in it, bless God, is exactly the way God intended for it to be. And if I had time, I'd give you a little exposition on what inspiration means. But I'm going to tell you this, friend, listen and move on. You can bank on the Word of God. Is God a man that He should lie? No, He's not, friend. You know the Word of God says at least 3,000. I believe it's 3,003 times, but at least 3,000. Do you know the Word of God says something like this? Thus saith the Lord, or the Word of the Lord came unto so and so. Isn't that amazing? Listen, this Bible is a book that couldn't be written by man, and if man could write it, he wouldn't, because of the truth that is in it. Open the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. The Bible says, "For the prophets came not in old days, in old times by the will of man, but let me turn over there and read that. Man, I've quoted that I don't know how many times, but I can't do it today. The prophets came not by old time or the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter chapter 3 and verse 4. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to tell you something, sir, ma'am. You can trust this book. You can trust the Word of God. You can trust the King James Bible. Do you hear me? It's got a power in it. It's got a power on it. Thank God. You can get power out of it. Without a doubt, listen, God's Word is true. It's either true or not. Listen, you can rest on it. You can have eternal life because of it. You can sleep and have peace. Thank God you can go to the grave in hope and you can get up with rejoicing. Thank God. How wonderful it is. So listen. It's either or. Do you hear me? It's either or. Either the Word of God is true or it is not true. And remember what the text verse says. God is not a man that He should lie. Brother, sister, I'm going to tell you, you can bank on Him. You can count on Him. You can trust in Him. You can even deposit your soul for safekeeping in His hands. Look, God is true or else He's not true. Isn't that goes along pretty close with the statement that I just said. Either God's Word is true or not. And that means God, we got to see whether or not He's true. Well, in the book of Titus chapter 1 verse 1 and following, it says this, Paul, an apostle of God and a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now watch this. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now listen, this plan of salvation that God has shown and revealed and made manifest to man, when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost put it down in an eternity past, and He revealed it. Do you hear me? He revealed it to mankind way back even to Abraham. You know, when God was making a covenant with Abraham, do you know what He did? He said, now listen, Abraham. He said, I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to make a promise to you. I want to promise. Listen to what He said in verse 17, Hebrews chapter 6. Wherefore, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He's talking about Abraham. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the Abraham, the father of all of us that believe, the Father of us, all that put our faith and trust in Christ. I've seen that, listen, God wanted Abraham to rest assured. He said, I want to give you something that's immutable, that's unchanging, that's eternal. He said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Listen, bless God. God said to Abraham, Abraham, when I can swear by no greater, I'll swear by myself. And listen again to Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He can lie. Look, it's either or. Look, God is either truth or else He's not true. Not only that, but God either saves and keeps those who He saves, or He can't. Listen, friend. Listen, there's no one question. There's no under question of the ability of God to save. Do you hear me? I mean, nobody would even question whether or not God's able to save the worst of us, let alone the best of us. No, nobody doubts God's ability to fulfill John 3:16, or at least part of that, when He says, whosoever will, let him come. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The question that many wrestles with is whether or not God's got the ability to keep those who He saves. Look what He said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm about to get happy. Verse 20, 3 and 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, this is what He said in verse 25. Wherefore He, speaking of Christ, speaking of that one that's made after the order of Melchizedek, speaking of that one that was made after the power of an endless life, that apostle and high priest of our faith, have that one through who the eternal Spirit have brought to us an eternal inheritance, because He provided an eternal salvation. Thank God. He said, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what the Bible just said right there? God's not only to save you to start out with, but He'll save you to finish up with. with. That word uttermost means all the way to the end. Now listen, friend. If God saves somebody, I mean if somebody truly deposits their faith in Christ, if somebody means saying, God, I'm a sinner and I want you to save me, God saves them. Do you hear me? Look, they may not be perfect throughout their life, but thank God they've got a perfect salvation. Even that old prodigal, when he was down in the hog pen, was still the father's son. Bless God, and he proved it because he came out of the hog pen and went back to the father's house. But listen to what Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says. I'm being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a work, good work in you, shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, God's not only able to save, but he's able to keep you that he has saved. Listen to what the Word of God tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now watch this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now period. That verse ends with a period. Verse 5 begins. You who are kept by the power of God. I thank God. How many of y'all believe that God is able to lay up for us an inheritance in heaven? Say amen. Well, if the same God is able to lay us up an inheritance in heaven and keep it in a place where moth and rust doth not corrupt nor thieves do not break through and steal, why don't you believe God's able to keep those who have committed themselves unto Him, like Paul said? Paul said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I want you to know, friend, listen, God either saves and keeps those who are He has saved, or He's not able. And you know what? I'm persuaded that He is able. I am persuaded that He is able. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you can get saved, sir, today, and lose your salvation, or walk away from the grace of God 5 years after, you didn't have eternal life, you had 5-year life. If you can do it after 10 or 15 or 25 or 50 years, you didn't have eternal life. You had whatever year of life that you said you have. He that believeth, verse 36 of John 3 said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verse 24 of chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear. Well, wait just a minute. I jump down. Verily, verily, in verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He said in the book of Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I'm telling you, friend, listen. I'm telling you, friend, God gives us eternal life. In the book of John chapter 6 and verse 47, He says this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You know what that word hath means? It means it's a present possession. Now listen, if you read the Word of God, you'll find in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. Bless God, He did it through the eternal Spirit. In chapter 9 verse 12, I believe it is 10 or 12, in verse 12 of chapter 9, you'll find He provided us an eternal redemption. And in verse 15, you'll find that we have an eternal inheritance. Listen, friend, it's either or. It can't be both ways. Either God saves and keeps, or He can't even save at all. Do you hear me? I'm telling you what the Word of God teaches, not what I do. And either the Holy Spirit permanently indwells the believer, or He does not. I know my time's just about run out. Now listen to what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14. He said this. He said, I'll pray in verse 16. The Father, and He'll send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He's going to abide with you forever. And listen to what he goes on to say. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither known him, but ye have known him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. In the book of Ephesians 1:13, 14, 4, and 30, you'll read about being sealed by the Spirit of God. That's that internal witness that we belong to God. Do you know what that is? It is a guarantee. It is a guarantee. It is a seal. It is proof of the fact that once we got saved, we belong to God, that He's ours and we're His. And Jesus said, listen, I'm going to tell you what. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man, friend, no man means no man. Not me, not you, not him, not them. The Bible said, I'll give unto them eternal life. I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which had gave me, is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, it's either or. You decide today, would you?
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.